I remember the beautiful Shuswapmuk people. I come here to ceremony on their territory. But I also went to residential school here, and I'd get a few memories about that place. The good and the bad. I remember schoolmates. I was telling my driver, my young nephew, Jacob, we used to race up to Mount Peter there on the weekend, and we got nothing to do. Oh, we were young and strong, and we'd run all the way from the soccer field up to the top and run back down again. I remember that when I see that mountain. We see coyotes and cattle sometimes. And I remember those, but also the harm that happened. You know, what I was telling my crew that I beat it. I don't get depressed when I see those red things anymore. Sometimes I get angry, sometimes I get sad, but it doesn't own me anymore. No ownership from Camel Residential School anymore. I've done my work. Yeah, so I'm in Kamloops. And I'm with one of my relatives. And he was on TIA, I don't know, 3 years ago. Might be 3 years ago. And he come on to a podcast called Returning to the Circle. So this is Returning to the Circle 2, the second one. You know that since that time we talked and shared with each other, we both, like every human being, have gone through some challenging times in our lives. You know, COVID hit. I know my relative got COVID. I'm so lucky I did not get COVID. And our relatives get sick, and sometimes they get cancer and other sicknesses. Different things happen, you know. Those are the challenging times that happen in our circle. I was telling my young relative that we have three, probably more, because there's ceremonial circles too, but the ones I wanted to talk about today, the first circle is our family. When we come out in the world from our mother, what we have there is uncles and aunties and parents and grandparents, cousins, relatives. Circle. And good old days, you know, that circle worked together to take care of that baby, to help each other to raise, teach them about everything they know in life. So we have that circle of friends, of relatives. You know, the grandparents and the uncles and aunties used to be, I think, our number one teachers. Parents would teach us all the time. They'd role model for us. But when the uncle come and talk, I remember my uncles would talk to me, and they'd come and talk about Kwisatzut, about training yourself. And they're the ones that would tell me to go run early in the Kikwila, you know, at daybreak. Say, nephew, you, that's when you go run. Because during the day, you're going to work. You can help your dad. But you go out and run. And you'll see the world wake up. The birds will start singing. And it's nice out there. Okay, uncle. Said, I see I go running. And they'd tell me, then they'd know I'm running. Then they say, okay, next thing you do, nephew, is you carry rocks in your hands and you squeeze them when you're running to build your strength up, your grip and your foot. So they're teaching me, and that's part of my circle. That's an important part of circle that I want people to remember today, maybe after listening to this podcast, that family circle and how critical it is to not only take out but put back in. Like my uncles would help me, and I'd help them with whatever they want, if it's good. Some of my uncles were mixed up, and they would drink and stuff, but when they were sober, they were good men. They would teach me. So that's the circle of me. They were telling me how to Kwisatzut, how to train myself. They tell me to go Shachum in the lake, go back the lake before you run. Kukwila, you go there and you go on four times under the water. And you go running after. So I listened to that circle. Then my aunties were so good to me in that circle when I was a little boy. If I go to their house, they feed me my favorite foods. They make sure I got something to eat. They call me nephew. And I know I belong to that circle. Just by how they talk to me and what they do. And I cut kindling for them or pack wood or water for them, you know, and they would feed me. They talk nice to me. And that's that circle of family. You know, and the second circle is our community. And on, we all still in Statlium territory. I know because when I go home for a funeral, the people are helping each other. They bring food to the house where they're feeding. I remember when the last time we lost somebody in my family when I was home before COVID. A young man shows up with a pickup truck full of wood because we have fire burning outside until the funeral's done. It brought tears to my eyes. Oh, you guys, here's some wood. And split already. That's that second circle, community members. We pay each other back with goodness and love and kindness and respect. And if we do that consistently, everything's good. You know, so there's that circle. Then there's a circle I think that many of us struggle with. It's Canada. All the visitors that come here, we call them shamas. The Europeans, the Chinese, Japanese, they call them Asians that come here. I know sometimes for myself, I'd wonder, can I go to that big circle? Will they accept me? You know, are they going to make fun of me? What's going to happen when I go to that big circle? Those kinds of thoughts would come to my head. But I know we belong to that circle too. We have a right to go to their schools, get their education, to do work out there. We have that too. So there's that circle. So I was saying to Samuel, I'm going to introduce him now, Chakamshla, that we've had challenges, both him and I. So I'd like him to share his challenges that he's gone through since the last time we podcast together. And share with the people those challenges, because many of us have the very same challenge, Chakamshla. And it'd be good for people to hear how you face those challenges and what you've done. Chakamshla, introduce yourself to the people and share with the people now, please.
Chakamshla, Nkwatita, Tkwailachum, Statlium. Hello, my name is Samuel Michael Alec, a.k.a. Farmer. My mother's Ginger Alec, and my father's Pat Alec. My grandparents on my dad's side is Sam Mitchell and Sue Mitchell. My grandparents on my mother's side is Richie and Claire Edwards. Thank you for coming me back.
Well, it's good to see you again.
Yeah.
Yeah. We survived the challenges, cousin.
Yes, we've survived the challenges. There's been a lot of challenges since the last time we've spoken on here. And there's, you know, with the challenges with death, you know, challenges with the drugs and alcohol, you know, challenges on communities, you know, turning to healing instead of, you know, they've been turning to drugs and alcohol instead of turning to healing. These are the kinds of challenges that, you know, that I can feel with my heart, I could see with my heart. You know, it's been very difficult times that, you know, even you mentioned COVID, like, I survived COVID. And for me reaching out, you know, even to you, my elder, let's see, overcoming them challenges, you know, to start with the COVID, like, I thought the Creator was calling me home. Quilston was calling me. But I picked up that phone. This, much as the challenge was very heavy, and I was able to call you, and I needed some. The other medicines weren't working. And then when I talked to you and we talked about the mullein cleared my lungs and took away all that sickness, and I was very ill. That is quite a challenge, and that was one of the scariest things that I went through. One of them. You know,
yeah.
Thinking that I was going to pass away.
Yeah.
You know, and reaching out to my elder, my mom, you know, the people that we come together as a family, you know, when somebody's ill, somebody's, you know, the family comes together.
Yeah.
What can we do to help this? You know, like with the deaths, that was one of the biggest challenges I had to face also. Since our podcaster, my brother passed away.
Eh? Mm.
And he was my closest friend. You know, we done everything together. Fishing, hunting, playing ball, you know. Raising our children. Breaking horses, you know. And it was a challenge. One thing that I could say I'm very proud of myself for not following my old footsteps.
Mm.
Because my old foot, I would just say, to hell with it and turn to substances. Mm-hmm. But I utilized the team from my elders and that was a challenge. I had to, you know, utilize those, and I did. I drum and sang, and I pulled in some family to come and be me, you know, help me stay strong and keep my mind off of that, eh? Because I know using drugs and alcohol is not the answer for me, for anyone out there. No, it's a Band-Aid. We use it to drown those feelings. You know, those complex trauma we've held in. And I've done a lot of crying.
Mm.
I was taught by one elder that those tears that come out of my eyes are those untold words that are held deep in my heart, and I can't come to letting it out.
Mm.
Can't to somebody, you know, that was quite the challenge for me when I hit my rock bottom and I finally made the decision, no matter what happens, I'm going to be sober and clean. And Quilston put those challenges to me to see if I was going to, you know, be honest with myself. And we're winning. We're winning those challenges, you know.
Yes. You know, and I was listening to you and I was remembering the COVID and you phoned me up and I could hear the fear or the anxiety in you. And I was telling you, you keep still now and your body will start to heal yourself, but also use medicine. That Mullen and people knew you were, and they're already, the circle was already there and somebody brought you Chinese food and I was talking to you on the phone, dropping off at his door and I was thinking, oh, he's got help over there. That's good. You know, that that circle. We don't know. I didn't know at times how much for me, really, because I feel so sorry for myself. You know, in COVID, we're all isolated. That means we become islands and we just get stuck in one place. And I went through the same. I lost my, he's my cousin in our way, he's my brother too. And I went through similar what you're going with your brother. I smoke, you know, and medicine didn't seem to work. Wasn't taking away that pain I was feeling. And what healed me was that circle, that first circle. His daughter phoned me. Said, Uncle, we're going through Dad's phone and your number was there, so we thought we better call you because you're close. I said, oh, niece, I'm so glad you called. And I could feel tears in my eyes, like you're saying unspoken things. True. And and I said, niece, I want to be there, but I can't be COVID, you know. And she said, no, uncle, we know you love us. We know you care. You're honorary pallbearer. And I started crying then. And I started to heal from that regret that I can't be there. You know, because I was trained by my mother to go wherever your relatives are, if somebody's lost or gone to the spirit world. You go there and support that circle. So it's in my blood now. It's put in there by my mom and them, my DNA. I have to go. If I can't go, I send shkalau, I send money to help the family because that's my circle. So we take care of that circle and we let them know we're there for them because they're going to be there for us when we need them. And we have to let them know we're open to them coming to help us by thanking them and paying them back in the future. That's our big circle. You know that, you know, and I was listening to you about loss and my losses too. Like I cut my hair because I lost a nephew and a niece too. You know, and, had long AIDS and I cut them off by mercy to let my niece and nephew go. You know, so they can have a good journey to the spirit world. I was taught that by my granny, my late grandmother, Shutit. Let go, son. I had long hair and she cut it and my fingernails and my toenails. And because that's the end of us. Our human body is our hair and our fingernails and toenail. She says, you're going to push out your dad, what's in you from your dad, because you breathe things together, eat together and stuff. So your dad's part of you, that part of him. And his spirit's going to be here for 4 days, so he's going to gather up everything he left with other people. So it's our job to push it out, then cut it. Mm-hmm. Then now he's free to travel to the spirit world. That's a good teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It took me many losses to appreciate it because I cut my hair, fingernails, and toenails and my niece and nephew left during COVID. Let's take, you know, so those challenges we face, you know, and proves to me that you're tied into the circle. You return to the circle. And you stay in the circle. The toughest one we have is the community circle, because there's so much bad blood between the families. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame anybody, cousin, for that. Mm-hmm. It's happened right across the country.
Yeah.
We've forgot how to be that second circle, you know, where we help people, even though they're not our relatives, with the raise their children, give them food, you know. My mom and dad taught me how to be part of that second circle. They'd make me go bring things to elders. Like, I keep telling a story about Wanish and Anderson Lake. They spawn in the wintertime. It's a winter spawning fish. Coyote must have said they need that fish. So, and it'd come up when it's really cold. And there'd be north wind and it's cold by the lake. A little bit of ice on the edge. And my mother, go, that wind's right now. You go out, get that Wanish. They're still alive. And they come up. And she says, you go out, get that Wanish and bring it to all the elders in the community, she told me. I said, okay. I didn't want to because it's cold out there and windy and I was out there walking by the lake, pulling in Wanish. Gee, I filled up two sacks to the elders knocking on their door. I remember Auntie Keek, we called her Keeky, Keek. Auntie Keek, I got Wanish for you. Oh, she's laughing. She's got tears and her eyes are sparkling. She's just so happy because they love the Wanish. Youngsters don't like Wanish so much anymore, you know. But those elders, oh, and then my circle was intact.
Yeah.
Because when they see me, they smile and they talk to me. They teach me. So we feed that second circle too. And it's going to help us. It's going to return. And you were telling me about you feeding that circle fishing. So I'd like you to tell some stories about you going fishing down the Fraser River. And because I appreciated you because you remind me of myself. Because I was told to share fish too, like the Wanish.
Mm-hmm.
But tell a little story about Fraser River and the sockeye salmon.
Shit.
Yes.
Shit. That's our sacred fishing grounds down in 6 Mile there in Hachlup Fountain. So, yeah, we have a little spot there we call the Falls there. That's where we get our salmon, eh? And I've been taught as a very young man, my grandma used to tell us to bring a salmon over to the other rack. They don't have any to queek them. So as young fellas, we were taught to bring so they can prepare for their winter, you know, their winter supplies of salmon. And that's where we learned to help share, you know, some of the elders can't get around so much no more. So we go and help them down there. And I have horses. So, you know, a lot of the members down there are shit warriors. They struggle bringing their salmon up or their dried salmon or, you know. So I offer my horse, eh? And I help the people down there, you know. I'm down there fishing, catching my quota, and, you know, people come. They come behind me. We need some fish. Can you catch us some? Says, just take what you need out of there. There's already some there. I'll catch some more for myself. So they quite a few of them, they come and they take what they need. And I just keep fishing, you know. Single parents, single moms are down there trying to catch fish. Or elderly can't really go on, so we get to where they need to. And even carried up that 1 mile climb, you know. appreciate the help that I give them. You know, I don't ask them for anything. I just do it because that's how I taught my grandparents and my parents and brothers and sisters. So it was time. It was getting near the end, There was a day that I was done my fishing, and I made sure everybody else got waiting to take out, and it was time for me to leave. Shit. My fishing season was done. My camp was packed, and they're up the trail with my horse, our last day down there, and there's different Wicomax, we call them, and racks, and the members and own their racks. They seen me leaving, and they knew I was heading out, and they would stand outside and they raise their hand, make a fist in the air, honoring me leaving. Thank you. Some of them had their hands up. Cook's jam, chocolate clock. And get going down, and then there's other camps, and they were standing there also, and they had their hand drum. They were singing songs for me, It was a very special day, just giving back to the communities, helping. And I was leaving up the hill, and I could barely hear them. It really hit me. All these people are respected me and honored me when I was leaving, and for all the help I've done. And that's the reward, was the feeling that I got. How proud I was of the way I was brought up. To give, help them, help the people. And then when I got up top, more people on top waiting. They messaged from down below. They messaged, he says, his leaves to boat to the top. And there was quite a few people up there. I was surprised. His ears went up and he started whinnering. And I got there and I could hear the drums. They were singing because they all got their salmon. And I couldn't believe the little ones come and ask me, you want a pop, you want a water, trying to look after me as I was leaving. So that's appreciation that I can get from the people, just to know that respect is there. The chain that I can see and feel with my heart now is, respect is earned, not given. Not like back in my drunken high days, And that's one of the greatest rewards that I can give.